And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice.
What's going on, everybody? Thursday afternoon edition, NHL Fantasy on Ice. Pete and Nick here with you talking rankings for week 15, some mailbag questions. And Nick, what's going on, buddy? I know we got a big guest who's pretty high stakes, not only in hockey, but also in another sport.
Yeah, the guy's the absolute G of the world right now, absolute best. It's fascinating too. Our recording time's a bit different this time around, but we're so excited to bring in the one and only pro poker legend, Vegas Golden Knights fan, Toronto Maple Leafs fan, NHL fan, fantasy player. It is Daniel Negreanu. What's going on, Daniel?
Well, you guys got me up and early, right? 10:30 in the morning for
that's early.
You're like, how does 7:30 sound? I'm like, which one, AM or PM? Like, it really makes a difference, you know.
Well, we're both night owls, so I can sit with you in that one. But first and foremost, for those watching the video, the Danbury Trashers t-shirt, that's something else, man.
Oh, you got to have it. I mean, if you haven't seen the documentary, it's a must-see for any hockey fan. Pretty amazing. If you like Sopranos, you like the, you know, Slapshot Mighty Ducks, this sort of mends it all together in, you know, a real-life documentary. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, still perplexed as to how that all unfolded, but it's a must-watch, I would say, certainly on Netflix. So let's get into it. All-Star Weekend, we want to tee that up as well. We're going to talk about your life in fantasy hockey and pro poker and all that, but give us a sense of what to expect All-Star Weekend in Vegas. I'm sure it's going to be pretty big because Vegas can't do things small.
Yeah, so, you know, the thing about Vegas is Bill Foley, the owner, he didn't want the All-Star Game. Like, we didn't want it, but, like, it's Vegas. The NHL was like, no, we have to do it there. Like, even before we had a team, you know, they were doing the award ceremonies here in Vegas because, first and foremost, it's the destination that, you know, guys in their 20s and 30s really enjoy coming to. You have a wide variety of gambling options, of course, but most importantly, you have, like, restaurants, you got shows, and you've got a vibe, you know? And that's part of the reason it's such an easy sell to always be in the free agent market for every big fish, whether it's Alex Pietrangelo, whether it's Max Pacioretty, Mark Stones, you know, or all of a sudden, you know, a guy named Jack Eichel, who should be coming to the team pretty soon.
It's going to be exciting, especially from a future standpoint, Daniel. We've been talking about this for months now, ahead of the return of not only Pacioretty, but of course, the highly anticipated season debut for Jack Eichel coming off the neck surgery. So what are your thoughts on Vegas, your favorite team from a future standpoint? They're not the clear favorite right now, but I still believe deep down that once the puck drops on the Stanley Cup playoffs, all those guys will be back and they will be the favorite at that point.
Yeah, no, I think you're right, actually, because here's the thing. What people, like, I guess, from the outsiders don't realize is how banged up we are and how banged up we have been. You know, right. if you think your top line is Stone, Pacioretty, and Eichel, none of them are playing. You also are missing Riley Smith. You're out Alex Martinez, who's, you know, league leader in block shots. You know, we're out with White Cloud. We've had so many injuries. And then at home, we've been sort of, I guess, what I'd call, like, sort of sloppy, sleepy, and cocky. And the home record isn't what it normally is. But the road record, what they've done on this road trip, I actually think the most impressive win this season was the one in Washington. You know, man, down all those players that I just mentioned and went in there, and Robin Lehner stood on his head, who I do believe, you know, when all things settle, he will be, like, considered a top five goalie this season. You know, he's had a rough patch a little bit too, but he also carried the team. He was the MVP when we were struggling with injury.
The Chandler Stephenson revenge game. Yes, I was all over that narrative, although we didn't get that point prop we were looking for, certainly. But along those lines, like, you know, what's your expectation? So we think Jack Eichel is going to be back in what, the next month, month and a half. What does that mean, in your opinion, to the value of a Chandler Stephenson? And how would you see it unfolding in terms of line utilization?
So there's a couple possibilities. I think first and foremost, when Eichel comes back, like, it's been a long time since he played hockey. He's likely not going to be in the number one slot between Stone and Pacioretty if Pacioretty's healthy as well. I would likely see him, you know, between Janmark and Dadonov on the third line. However, he will take over top power play time, I would imagine, from Chandler Stephenson. Stephenson has sort of been a Swiss Army knife for us, right? He came in, he started on the third line wing, then he was fourth line center, and he was like, you know what? You're our number one center. I mean, it's an amazing story, really, you know, for like a rags to riches type story. But the other issue we're going to face too is we're not going to be certain what this team looks like because they're going to be over $10 million over the cap when Eichel comes back. So does that mean we lose Riley Smith or Shea Theodore or, you know, the contract that I wasn't a fan of, which was signing Dadonov? to 5 million. They're going to have to find room unless they do the Kucherov, which is all of a sudden, you know, oh, Mark Stone's back's hurting a little bit. Oh, you got to do this thing, you know. We do have like three big $9 million contracts. You need just one of them really to sit. Vegas has shown too a propensity, they did it last season, to play two, three men down the stretch, right? Because the regular season, I mean, they're going to make the playoffs, right? They are very likely to win the division. So down the stretch, they may play short. The other issue with that, though, is what happens when you get to the playoffs? When they played against Montreal, I think the key reason they lost that series, they were gassed because down the stretch, they were playing so many minutes, all of them.
Daniel, when you look at the stars around the league, and of course, you know, we go into All-Star Weekend, you start to look at the stars from all the best teams around the league. You also look at the midway point of the season, who's been doing best around the league as a fantasy hockey player. Which team other than Vegas has impressed you the most this season? When we talk about big fives, we just had a debate on the Instagram page, NHL Fantasy. We were debating, is it Colorado with the best big five? Is it Tampa Bay? Even the New York Rangers with five players in the top 40 overall fantasy rankings this week have a case as well. And of course, Vegas as well. So what are your thoughts on who has like the most star power in the league right now as a team?
Well, there's two teams actually that stick out. One is very good. One is just sort of not so good, but on the up and coming. I think Carolina's unreal. Like when you look at their fourth line, when you've got Kotkaniemi and then you've got Stepan, who's a veteran playing on the fourth line, every one of those lines is not just like, you know, a grinding check-in. They can score as well. And they come at you in waves. And of course, you've got Aho, you've got Trocheck up the middle, you've got Svechnikov, you know, on the wing. So I really like Carolina as a team. They're just hard to play against. And Freddie Anderson's sort of a comeback season, if you will. And the other team that I start to see flashes from, they actually destroyed Carolina the other night, 7-4, is the New Jersey Devils. I think Jack Hughes is finally starting to get, you know, comfortable. Nico Hischier's coming around. You know, he was dealing with an injury as well as Jack Hughes. And then, you know, I think they're developing a supporting cast where obviously not this season, this isn't the threat, but next season and the season beyond, I think you're going to have some really fun matchups between, you know, New Jersey and the Rangers, sort of reviving that rivalry.
Well, that's the thing too, guys, is like you look at some teams and the Devils come to mind, certainly, where you're expecting that next step and it just doesn't happen. Like the Buffalo Sabres always involved in that conversation. Are there future teams that you're looking at, Daniel, along those lines where you're like, hey, they're ready to take that next step? It just hasn't happened yet. Because I think ultimately in DFS and fantasy, you're looking for that next team. You're looking for that next player is about to break out, right?
Yeah, I think one team that really stockpiled really well and also has kept some of the old guard is the LA Kings. You know, they still have Doughty and Kopitar, who can play a different role now. When they signed Dadonen, it sort of alleviates Kopitar's defensive responsibility to a certain degree, since he's so, you know, great as a two-way player. And then, of course, all the youth movement with Kaliev, and then you've got Quinton Byfield, who I think is going to be a stud. Like, he's a big dude, and he's very young. He's almost a full year younger, because he was born in December, I believe, than the rest of his draft class. So you should take that into, you know, consideration with a kid like Byfield. He's going to take a little time to develop. But I think the LA Kings are, you know, prime. They're actually, you know, potentially going to make the playoffs this season, right? True. They're in the hunt right now. Anaheim was a major surprise, and Anaheim is a team that is really fun to watch. I mean, everyone knows about the goal, Zegras, you know, it was just amazing to watch. And they're just a fun team with Drysdale on the back end. Real big surprise to see their record this season, but, you know, there's a lot of promise in the Pacific. I think everyone sort of laughed at the Pacific this season, you know, coming into it, but a couple of those teams have surprised, and, you know, San Jose even is like, floating. They're not, I don't know where they're going. I think if I was a San Jose Sharks fan, I'm like, wait a minute, are we rebuilding? Are we, where are we? We're just like in no man's land right now.
I know, refusal to rebuild for sure. Pretty I much. Think the most consistent of those three teams has clearly been the Kings. And like you mentioned, a very high ceiling in the future. I also love what Adrian Kempe has done for them in goals and shots on goal, whether he's playing with Kopitar or not. He's been a fantasy gem so far this season. So Daniel, for some of your fantasy teams or DFS picks and things like that for the season so far, who are some guys that have, you know, been your MVPs, like of your rosters? Like, has there been any one guy that's been carrying one of your teams that you want to give a shout out to here?
Oh yeah. Well, I've been in the same league since 1996 with the same group of 20 guys.
Wow.
And we do a draft where we each own 48 players. So you're talking about 1,000 NHL players. So everybody's drafted. I mean, like we have everyone. And for my team, I did a rebuild for 3 years. And now my team is primed and ready, led by Sebastian Aho, who's been my number one guy. Jack Hughes. Coincidence, I mentioned both of them, right?
Sure.
But I also had firepower and Barkov and Zibanejad. I got Rupe Hintz, Jason Robertson still on my farm, Tim Stutzel. So it's a lot of fun. I enjoy, you know, as being a, I love keeper leagues, you know, I it's fun to do one off, but just, you know, having a guy at 18 and having him for their entire career, there's something special about that for me. So I like to target the young guys and see how they develop. I also got Adam Boqvist and Jamie Drysdale, who I mentioned.
Well, that's one of the things I wanted to piggyback. You're big into the prospects watch for sure. Guys like Tomasino and Drysdale and Stutzla, you've been all over. Who are some guys, you know, further in depth you're looking at for the future? Because as I mentioned earlier, we're looking for that next product to really produce at the NHL level.
Yeah, well, I mean, so it depends on what kind of league you're in. Obviously, if you're looking at the 18-year-old crop that's coming in now, I don't think any of them are going to make an impact in the NHL. Very few ever do, right? And I think guys like Lafreniere and Hughes, you know, the first couple of years, and Kako, everyone's like, well, you know, what's wrong? They're kids. You know, they're really, really young. Like, you look at Kotkaniemi, right? Kotkaniemi came in the league. He was barely 18. You know, and people are like, oh, he's not producing. He's barely 18. You know, he's just getting used to a role where he plays, you know, a two-way game. So I think a lot of those guys, like that I mentioned, maybe given up on a little bit too early, that still have the potential. I think you want to look at around like the 200 to 300 game mark for – you know, forwards before you decide, all right, nah, this is who he is. You know, it takes some time for the young guys, but there's plenty of them up the pipeline. As far as the next draft, I mean, Shane Wright is the name people talk about, and I've heard mixed things. I don't know that he's a generational player, but we'll see. I don't know. You know, I'm not a pro at that. I just listen to them.
Bedard, baby.
Yeah, well, that's a couple years away.
Well, it's been cool even this year to watch like Rasmus Dahlin. I feel like even with the bad situation there, he's kind of blossomed, become like a really dynamic two-way defenseman. And he's still in his young 20s. Like, we're so hard on these guys with high expectations, and especially with him like cracking 40 plus points in his rookie season as a defenseman, the expectations get a little too high. But yeah, that's where you kind of, you know, see the growing pains, but also guys rise to the top over time. I think Dahlin is another example of that.
Dahlin's a perfect example of that, because Dahlin, like, you sometimes wonder too, like, are we throwing this guy to the wolves? You're taking the first round pick and you're throwing him into Buffalo. Like, this is going to be tough, right? Is this going to help or hurt his confidence? But I think what I remember watching Dahlin, I wanted him bad in our league because I think he's going to be a superstar. You know, when Buffalo, if they ever, if Buffalo ever rights the ship. But I'll tell you what, one of my buddies who was a Vegas Golden Knight is really performing in Buffalo, and he's one you should look at, and that's Alex Tuch. Because Alex Tuch, he's a player that can create on his own. You know, when he was able to play in the top six in Vegas, he was our leading scorer. Problem is, our top six was so jam-packed that he was playing on the third line, getting power play time, of course. But now in Buffalo, getting top line minutes, he's a guy I'd look at that's still young, big. He reminds me of sort of a poor man's, well, Blake Wheeler, McDavid, you know, big, strong, skilled, physical, smart, you know, he's not McDavid. No, don't, that's not the comparison.
Quote him.
You're right. It's a very, you know, there are very few players that sort of like can match that sort of combination of size, skill, and speed.
Yeah, and I think in general, fantasy owners are looking for category coverage, and Tuch, you know, checks a lot of boxes. We've been banging that drum for a couple of weeks now. I think he's still around 30% owned in standard leagues, which is crazy to me. I know you had the Tuch Yad jersey in Vegas. Did you get a new one now that he got dealt?
I do have, I mean, I have several. I have a Stone Cold. Yeah. I've got a Panda jersey because I'm friendly with Robin Lehner, and I'm really rooting for him. I think that, like, you know, in this town, I feel like he's gotten a raw deal a little bit because, you know, Marc-Andre Fleury is the hero of the city. Everybody loves Marc-Andre Fleury. It was not Robin Lehner's fault that Fleury got moved. He's just doing his job trying to play, and he finally got a contract. And, you know, I think a lot of people in this town sort of, you know, put unfair blame on Lehner, not only for, you know, the Fleury move, but, you know, some of the losses we've had this season. You know, Robin Lehner's been just fine, and I think he's going to be a solid goalie for us, you know, during a deep playoff run.
What's your gut tell you on Flower? Do you think he gets moved by Chicago?
I would hope so, for his sake and for Chicago's sake. It doesn't really make a lot of sense. I mean, Vegas essentially gave him away. If they can get any asset whatsoever, you know, you've won on the deal, if you will. And Chicago is not going to make the playoffs. The question is, you know, a guy like Fleury, like, where does he want to go? You know, Washington Capitals have been rumored. Would he do that? A Pittsburgh Penguin playing for Washington? Being I don't know. That might hurt his legacy in Pittsburgh a little bit. So, you know, would he want to go to Edmonton? You know, there's a lot of questions about where. Colorado, that would be kind of like dramatic if all of a sudden Vegas plays Colorado. you know, in the conference final, and it's Fleury versus Lehner. You know, that would be pretty good for the game.
Love that.
But I'm actually kind of shocked that, you know, the Colorados and the Edmontons haven't just taken a swing yet, you know, at a goalie, because I think there's plenty of goalies available that, you know, that could help.
It's interesting you bring up Washington as a potential suitor after another underwhelming performance by Ilya Samsonov last night. So as far as disappointments in fantasy, is there anybody on your team that has disappointed you to an extent, but you're hanging on tough because you think they're going to bounce back? Shed some light on maybe somebody on that roster of yours, that big league that you're hanging tough with.
Well, there's a few. First and foremost, the biggest disappointment was, you know, many years ago, I was able to draft the number two pick, Nolan Patrick. And he's just not, he's actually starting to finally fit into a role, but it's a fourth line role on a, you know, a really deep Vegas team. Right. The other big ticket free agents that I went after was Ryan Ellis, Sean Couturier, and Blake Wheeler. The first two could potentially be done for the year. Both of them, you know, they're playing in Philly. And that's something that I look at too with fantasy, is where is the team at from a standings perspective, right? If they're not in the hunt and a guy's dealing with a nagging injury, very likely to just say, you know what, let's scrap the season, get the surgery, and come back strong the next year. Blake Wheeler did come on pretty strong before his injury. He had 10 points in his last five, right? Took the 4 weeks, 6 weeks off with the knee injury that he had that game. And he did come back in his first game with a goal and assist. So I'm a little, you know, I have some promise there for Blake Wheeler. I'm going to need him in the playoffs. But definitely, Couturier and Ryan Ellis have obviously been a disappointment, being, you know, injured for the majority of the season.
Yeah, Philadelphia has been something else. We all know how I feel on them at this point in the season. A guy, unsurprisingly, I noticed on your roster, because Daniel sent me his roster the other day, Phil Kessel, your buddy, obviously good friends, play poker with him. What's your expectation? Where do you think he goes, and how good of a poker player is he?
Okay, so the thing about, this is the first time I've ever had Kessel. I've never had him on my
really?
Fantasy. So this is the first time I had him on my fantasy, but it was kind of fun. First game watching him, you know. And I tell you what, I really believe, and this is going to be controversial to say, but I think he's having one of his best seasons ever in Arizona. When you think about where he's at, imagine being a hockey player, an offensive, you know, goal scorer in Arizona where nobody can pass you the puck. So now you need to reinvent yourself and drive the offense a different way. He's leading the team in assists by a wide margin at the forward position. He's creating, you know, most of the offense that they have, which is minimal. Having said that, you know, it doesn't make any sense for them to hold on to him, right? He's got 6.8 on the contract now after the Leafs still hold 1.2. So if Arizona eats half of that, that's 3.4. Get him at the deadline. I think that was their plan all along. I mean, Florida, he has a no trade, right? He has a no movement. So,
I believe so, yeah.
So, yeah, I know so.
There you go. Fact check.
Would it be fun to see him on McDavid's wing? Sure. You know, would he be willing to go to Edmonton? That's another question. You know, there's other teams, like, of course, Florida, you know, if Dallas, if they can really make a push here in the hunt. I think you'd be really smart. I really was hoping that Kessel would come to Vegas instead of Dadonov, because the biggest issue with the Vegas Golden Knights for the last couple of years has been the underwhelming power play. Yeah. Phil Kessel is a phenom on the power play. When Pittsburgh won those two cups stacked with Crosby and Malkin, it was Kessel who led the team in points on both those playoff runs. You know, on the power play, he's controlling the power play from the wall. And you really need a game breaker like him to, you know, to elevate that. But I think he's, you know, playing his best hockey he's ever played, really. The goal numbers aren't there. But again, he's had to sort of adapt and change the way he's playing to get those apples, as they say.
He's being a good sport down there in Arizona, because, like you said, there's not much of a supporting cast, especially this year, even compared to last year where they had a lot more talent on the team. We hope that he gets dealt to a contender where he can show his championship form once again. And, you know, speaking of some of these other teams, I know you mentioned Wheeler and his bounce back appeal. There are some others like the New York Islanders who are coming on strong now. Is there anybody outside of the picture, Daniel, right now for the playoffs that you think is going to get in, whether it's the Islanders or the Winnipeg Jets or maybe Vancouver or the Dallas Stars, teams like that?
Well, yeah, I mean, the Dallas Stars definitely think have a chance. It's still pretty wide open there. You know, the East is a little more locked up, right? The only team in the East, I would say, that could potentially do that is what you said, which is the Islanders. And the one thing that's promising about them is it seems like they're somewhat rededicating themselves to playing that defensive style that has made them effective. You know, I have their goalie set. So I focus a lot on, why are you guys not playing defense this season? What's going on, right? But if they could continue to do that, it's a long shot, I think, for the Islanders, simply because they're just so far behind so many teams. So I think the East is probably pretty set. It's just going to be a question of shuffling. You know, in the West, though, there's a whole bunch of teams that are on the fringe. Like, is Edmonton going to get in? Is Calgary going to get in? Or San Jose, Dallas? You know, I think, as we talked about Chicago, I think they're probably out of it. But there's still a lot of jockeying happening, you know, in the West. I think that's where the fun playoffs is, races will happen. And I don't see much movement in the East.
Your first love, the Toronto Maple Leafs. What makes you believe this team is any different than years past? Because they haven't won a round in almost 20 years now. It's crazy.
I would say the biggest difference this year, and if you look at, you know, their numbers over the last four or five, that, you know, the, since Matthews has been part of the team, is they've been able to score goals. That hasn't been a problem. What's different this year is they've been able to keep pucks out of the net. Jack Campbell's having like an amazing year for that team, and he's really been the difference. You know, Freddie Anderson, of course, rejuvenated, playing well in Carolina. But systematically, you know, more of sort of a defensive mindset, which is going to be important in the playoffs. We know that in the playoffs, you can't go in expecting to win games 7-5. Like, you're going to have to win 2-1, 3-2, you know, and you're going to have to play physical. And sometimes, you know, Sheldon Keefe recently said in the media, you know, sometimes they play soft, right? That was sort of the knock on them. They brought in guys like Wayne Simmonds and Jake Muzzin and the like to make them a little tougher. And they're going to have to play that way. That's, you know, Alex Ovechkin was probably their biggest coach ever when he said, if they want to win, Ovechkin just gave them this grain of beautiful wisdom. If they want to win, they have to change the way that they play, you know? And it was like almost just a kind comment from the greatest goal scorer ever, right? Because he knew that he had to do that for the Washington Capitals, you know, to win. So that's what they're going to have to do. They're going to have to buy into a defensive mindset and really grind in the playoffs, because that's what it is, right? Such a grind.
And it's the same thing with a team like the Avalanche. They're going to have to tweak the way they play a little bit. If they meet up with Vegas again in the playoffs, it's another team that falls short year after year, usually in the second round, as opposed to the Leafs in the first round with a team with a boatload
of talent.
They have
one guy in particular. They have one guy in particular that needs to tone it down in the playoffs. His name is Nazem Kadri. Buddy, yes. Four goals, do your thing. Try not to just get suspended for the entire season. He was Boston Bruins MVP for like 2-3 seasons in a row, and he was playing for Toronto.
My guy Nas should be in the Hart Trophy conversation. How do you feel about that? Because even, you know, for example, Wednesday, so McKinnon goes down. Next thing you know, Kadri's got three apples, Daniel.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. You know, Kadri now has, like, a supporting cast on his wings,
yeah,
and, you know, on defense that can really help. In Toronto, he was always the third, you know, the third string guy, right? He was behind, you know, the big two centers and stuff. So he was sort of playing a much more grindy role. I don't know that I would call him the MVP, because I think, you know, Colorado is so deep that even without Kadri, they're just fine. They have a guy named Nathan McKinnon. I don't know if you heard of him. He's pretty good. Yeah.
There are a couple. I mean, he might be the fantasy MVP if you look at ADP and stuff like that, right? It's probably either him or Chris Kreider, who's leading the league in goals and is among the top five overall in Yahoo Standard Leagues right now. Timo Meier is another one. And then, of course, yeah, the bounce back guys, like you mentioned, like Johnny Hockey's been unbelievable.
Oh.
14 points in his past six games. So, yeah, like you said, Daniel, like even the Flames, you can't kind of dismiss them either, because they're scoring like crazy all of a sudden once again, and they were one of the hottest starting teams in the league.
Yeah, no, you know, Calgary, when they put it together, they play a fast, quick game, and they've also got a new coach who has instilled a defensive system as well. You know, you mentioned I'm drawing a blank on who you mentioned just before that. It was a player. Oh, sorry, just
Kreider. Was it Kreider?
Kreider, Chris Kreider.
There you go.
Chris Kreider. I had him.
Good teamwork.
And here's a guy, Chris Kreider, that's scoring at a clip that is not sustainable. I just don't buy it, you know?
That's fair.
It's pretty amazing what he's been able to do. He does score a lot of garbage goals, which is the kind of guy that you want to have on your team. But he does go through spells where he'll play like 8-9 games. He'll just be like, and you know, goal scorers like him are going to be streaky. So what he's done in the first half of the season or whatever, I can't imagine he's going to match those in the second half. Like, this guy's not – I would bet under 60 goals. Very, very comfortable.
Hey, buddy, just wait. You're feeling the wrath of Rangers Nation on social media. Just wait for it, because I've been there before.
I love the player. I'm just saying. Like,
I know. I agree.
50 goals, 50 goals, that's pretty good. But, like, he's had a great season, but he does. And I have a friend of mine, a very close one, who is a diehard Rangers fan. And he tells me the same thing. He watches him sometimes and, you know, he's disinterested or whatever. But what a great season he's had this year.
Yeah, amazing net front presence. He's almost like maybe he's becoming the next, like, Joe Pavelski type player where, he's got the tip game. He can score, you know, from the slot, but he's also like like you said, garbage goals, rebound goals, everything. And he's got all that talent around him, like Pavelski had all through the years in San Jose. So, Daniel, I'm going to Vegas next week with Nick and Bobby, our producer, for the first time. So, you know, I'm looking for some recommendations out there. What can you recommend? Maybe like I'm looking for maybe like a rooftop bar or something like that for after the game or something. Let me know what your favorite spots are.
So you're going to love the setup there. You know, there's like a park right outside the arena and there's a whole bunch of little spots. The number one spot where they actually do the post-game radio show is the Beer House. It's Beer House, H-A-U-S. It's a great little spot. It's a sports bar or whatever. If you're actually looking for a rooftop bar, right next door is a place called Saki Rock. And that's a great spot for you guys to have dinner beforehand. It's really cool. It's a sushi place. And they have like a sort of 80s rock themed band that's, you know, doing crazy stuff, having it's Vegas, you know, they just go above and beyond. And then upstairs on top of Saki Rock, there is exactly what you said. It's kind of like a rooftop bar. It's more like a lounge, chill. Beer House is a little more, you know, you're going to have the guys in the jerseys, you know, on the rooftop. You might have people, you know, dressed a little nicer, but cool. There's right there in both sections. It's right outside the arena. You can't miss it.
And then you have me, who's been to Vegas more than one time, about 5, 6, 7. We're getting to 8 tomb. But I just wanted to ask before we let you go, I'm going to put you on the spot, your Stanley Cup pick and maybe who would play each other in your Stanley Cup final this season.
Man, that's so hard. It's like,
that's what we do.
Like so much luck involved, right? Like, you know, like if you could give me a crystal ball and tell me who's going to be injured, you know, like in the playoffs.
No, I can't tell you that. Sorry.
Yeah. I'm going to say this, and this isn't because I'm just, you know, because I'm a homer. It's just because I think this team is very good. And when you add, you know, a player like Jack Eichel, I think he's the type of game breaker that Vegas has needed in the playoffs to score. Cause the last 2 years, it's been the same story. You know, they can't score goals. What the hell's going on? Right.
Because
teams just collapse against them. They're like, all right, take all the perimeter shots you want. Those low percenters, we'll just, you know, stay in the house. Jack Eichel's the type of guy that can weave through that. So I think that, you know, if healthy, I think that the Vegas Golden Knights, I think they're actually going to win it this year. I really do.
Okay.
And then who's going to play against them on the other side? I mean, how do you ever bet against Tampa Bay? I mean, Florida's obviously emerging and giving them tough, but just Tampa, they've re-sort of vamped that third line that was kind of like crucial, but they've gotten grindy guys like Corey Perry and Belmar to fill the role. And until proven otherwise, I don't know how you say, you know, Tampa certainly knows how to get it done. They have the best goalie in the league, best defenseman in the league, and Victor Hedman, and all kinds of offensive weapons, and a healthy Kucherov. So I'll go Calgary. I'll go Vegas over the Tampa Bay Lightning.
I like that quite a bit, man. This has been a really, really fun collaboration. Where can people catch what you're doing these days? You're everywhere, man.
Yeah, I'm on, you know, on Twitter, I'm Real Kid Poker. And then if you're looking to learn poker and, you know, want to, you know, check out my videos, I have a YouTube channel. If you Google, if you put my name into YouTube, you'll find it. And there's videos coming out all the time. A lot of different ways to learn how to play the game. And, you know, YouTube's free. So enjoy.
Awesome. You're the absolute best, man. Thanks so much for this today.
Well, thanks, guys. I listen to your show all the time. It's really different because I usually listen on 2X. So you sound much more calm and relaxed.
Boom.
Love it. Thanks,
Daniel.
All right, guys.
Love the passion and the knowledge from Daniel Negreanu. Thanks so much again for coming on. So, Nick, we're looking at the fantasy landscape for the rest of the week. The updated top 200 is on NHL.com/fantasy. And a random name at the bottom just had a masterclass of a performance, right? 4 points, Dylan Strome. He's playing on the power play with Kane and DeBrincat. He's playing at even strength with Patrick Kane. Is this fool's gold or is this something maybe we could see that Dylan Strome from a couple of years ago near point per game the rest of the way?
Well, firstly, you're a humble dude. I got to give you props because you put your DFS plays out in the NHL fantasy Twitter and Dylan Strome was on that list. And lo and behold, he gets 4 points in one of the craziest games of the season where 13 goals are scored. So well done, my man, on that front. I think any attachment to Patrick Kane, you have to be all over. I don't know how I feel about this because how many stops and starts have we seen from Dylan Strome in fantasy hockey? I think the one thing I will say is that it ups his trade value a bit. His play the last little while, his last 8 games, 4 goals, 9 points, 15 shots on goal. So as long as he continues to produce, I think they'll find eventually a suitor because I think the writing is on the wall for Dylan Strome in Chicago. So I would just say ride this hot hand while he's hot.
Right. And I mean, if we fast forward to next season, end of next season, you could really see a select few players, maybe not even including a Patrick Kane on the roster for Chicago. Yeah. So there's going to be so much turnover. There's already been a lot of turnover in the organization this season, big picture. So maybe that's one thing you just kind of steer clear of the Blackhawks right now, because so much might change during, after the trade deadline, of course. So, you know, some other news around the league, Andre Palat's coming back Thursday for Tampa Bay. So Kucherov's out for a few games on COVID protocol, but, you know, one of his line mates comes back and things are as good as ever for Tampa Bay, right? So Palat goes back into the top 100 overall rankings, and obviously a player to prioritize in his contract year, because he's probably sticking around, right, Nick?
Yeah, I don't know. The jury's still out on that. Like, I think there's got to be some finagling when it comes to the cap. I don't know if they can hold, you know, a guy like Andre Palat when you're paying guys like Kucherov and Hedman and Vasilevsky and Stamkos. So that's the intrigue for me going forward. Is this the last kick of the can? And we always say that with these teams. Is it the last kick of the can with this current nucleus in Tampa? And I don't know if it's sustainable to suggest that a guy like Palat's going to be there long term. But we're looking at that. Good on Jeff Carter, the veteran. Pete gets the extension. We put out the numbers on social the last couple of days. He's been outstanding. 25 goals in around 60 games as a Pittsburgh Penguin so far. So kudos to him. I want to bring up as well, Claude Giroux. I'm looking for fits. I'm going to give you a multiple choice question. You can answer accordingly. In the news coming out the last couple of days, the Flyers captain will meet with agent Pat Brisson over the next couple of weeks, especially over All-Star weekend, go over the next step in the plan for them. He's a pending UFA. So I got Colorado, Giroux, Kadri, Burakovsky, Nashville, Giroux, Johansson, Tolvanen, Minnesota, Fiala, Giroux, Boldy, and Boston, Hall, Giroux, and Pasternak. What makes the most sense in your world, or at least what do you want to see from a fantasy perspective?
I mean, that would be, I can't even wrap my mind around the Colorado one, because it would just take them to another level. But I think, you know, it's going to be, it's interesting to see some of these surprise teams and what their mindset's going to be going into the deadline. Pittsburgh, you know, this was a crucial season for them where they're, you know, they had Malkin, Letang, Rust, expiring contracts, Carter as well. They already signed Carter, like you said, and now their rumblings today, they're going to try to do everything they can to bring all three of those guys back if they can. I don't think they're going to be able to, but I'm not saying Giroux is going to go there, but Nashville's kind of like a similar type of thing. Nashville coming into the year, I felt was, you know, on the decline, going maybe into a rebuild over the course of the season, but they have some of the top fantasy performers in the league, whether it's UC Saros, Roman Josi, some of those top liners, Forsberg, and Granlund and Duchesne have been awesome. And even Ryan Johansson is back on the fantasy wavelength. So I would be intrigued to see if Nashville is going to try to buy in, make the playoffs, and make a deeper run than people expect if they were able to land Claude Giroux.
Yeah, for some reason, I just keep looking at that Central Division in general, and I just see Giroux as a good fit. Like, Nashville just makes a lot of sense for me. I think they owe it to some of their nucleus, guys like Josi and contract year Philip Forsberg, and, you know, guys like Johansson and Duchesne, as you mentioned, having resurgent seasons. And I think, you know, David Poile in general is a guy who rewards hard play and strong play. And not to mention, I think you have to capitalize, Pete, on any year that you have UC Saros, especially in his prime, because he's been unbelievable this season.
Right. Saros should be in the top five Vezina conversation and has taken it to another level. He was one of the most efficient goalies in the NHL since dating back to like 2015-16, but his usage has just gone up, up and up every single year. And then now it's at like workhorse level, like same as a Thatcher Demko or some of the other workhorses around the league. So, and that's another thing I'm looking out for. Speaking of Demko, the Canucks, I mean, we were high on them after the coaching change. We've kind of tapered off a little bit because they've had so many guys missing because of COVID. But once they get Demko back, once they get Garland back and Horvat back, they already got JT Miller back. I mean, they don't have any time to waste anymore because they've been falling off a little bit lately. So what are your thoughts on Vancouver once those guys come back?
Has someone located Connor Garland? That's my question, because I think he's in the rare field where I think he contracted COVID in the States. So he's not allowed back in Canada. And that's why he's not playing. Man. Like, it's a pretty surreal situation. So Patrick Alvin named the new GM of the Vancouver Canucks. And I want to bring that up because we know who's running the operation. Trader Jim Rutherford loves to make moves. And again, Petey, I wonder, why is JT Miller's name always on the trade market? Like, that's my number one question, whether he was a Ranger, a Tampa Bay Lightning, now with Vancouver. His name seems to be out there again. So from a fantasy perspective, I'm looking at Miller, and I still wonder if Vancouver can get back in this playoff conversation. We know the Pacific is wide open. I think it's spoken for clearly in the Central Division, but it's going to be an uphill battle. I don't care how hot this team is, how good they're in. You know, Bruce, there it is. Bruce Boudreau's been great. I just think they're running at a racetrack, which is crazy to say. There's still half a season to be played here.
Yes, yeah, I still think there's a lot of time. And I think that some of those teams in the Pacific are a little spotty and inconsistent, yeah, including, you know, Edmonton and Calgary. I mean, Calgary's been so up and down, and then you're down on them, and then they have 62 shots in the game, and Markstrom has another shutout to add.
What was that from Columbus, by the way? Can you explain what that was?
Yeah, that was pretty deflating. I mean, that team really brings the effort almost every single night. They're in games all the time that they're not supposed to be. They make the playoffs certain years when they're not supposed to, but you know, every once in a while it catches up to you a little bit, I guess. There's no other way to explain that. Most shots allowed in a single game this season by the Blue Jackets, 62.
They were dreadful in that game, and it's unfortunate because of that hot start the first month and a half, but they've fallen off a cliff, and it seems like they're destined for a top five pick. A couple housekeeping things, Pete, we'll get out of here. I think there's a buy low opportunity in Washington, as we mentioned earlier, guys like Tom Wilson, John Carlson, Nick Backstrom. The goaltending, we mentioned it, we're not really sold on either guy right now, but certainly I think if you're looking for buy low appeal, you look at Washington. And Drake Batherson goes down, you hate to see it. I suffered a high ankle sprain playing hockey a couple years ago. The recovery is grueling, I'll tell you that. Sounds like a couple months at least for a guy like Batherson. So you look at replacement options. I don't know how long this lasts, but I think any attachment to Tkachuk and Norris, you'll take it. Zach Sanford, I think maybe a short-term look there. I think I look external for a replacement. Jeff Carter, Adrian Kempe, Tage Thompson, Alex Tuck, and Evander Kane. Sounds like his signing is imminent with Edmonton.
Right. Yeah. We're waiting to hear. People are still asking about Evander Kane. We should have some news at the tail end of this week about what's going on. What is he eligible for? Is Edmonton really going to sign him? Obviously, if Edmonton can't sign him, maybe they would be in play for any number of these wings out there, like including Kessel, which Daniel mentioned, I think was a really interesting one. But one other guy to keep eye out for as an injury replacement, not only for Nikolai Ehlers, but also, if you're trying to replace like a Batherson, I was impressed the other day with the multi-point game by Cole Perfetti for the Winnipeg Jets. So another guy that they could plug in. They got Wheeler at right wing on one line, and then they got Perfetti on the other line, and he's dual eligible now. He took on the wing position. So I'm looking at him in deeper leagues. I know we've talked about him on the show before, but now he finally, after that first NHL goal, there wasn't really much else to show for it, but now a big performance playing on the line with Kyle Connor and Pierre-Luc Dubois the other day.
Yeah, and as long as he stays in the top six there, and again, as you mentioned, the position is there with Ehlers out, I think Cole Perfetti is certainly worth a look, at least in DFS, and we'll see what happens moving forward. Okay, so I'm going to play the embarrassment angle on my bets moving forward for the next couple of days and things to look at. So Thursday, the Rangers and Columbus, I will play the Columbus puck line in that game because of the embarrassment of, again, whatever that was against the Calgary Flames. I'll probably lose, but I'm gonna stick my neck out for Columbus because I believed in that team the last couple of years. I'm going to do the same with Detroit, Pete. Lost 8-5 to Chicago. What was that is my question, my theme of the podcast today. But Detroit and Pittsburgh on Friday, it's the back-to-back. Casey DeSmith's going to play in that game, if you know what I'm saying. So give me the Detroit puck line in that game. And again, I'm really going for it. Here's my Hail Mary. Philadelphia ends the billion game losing streak against Los Angeles on Saturday.
I don't know if that's going to happen. Yeah,
0-3, right?
Yeah, I still can't believe it's been multiple 10 plus game losing streaks for Philly this year. I'm definitely looking at a low scoring game. I'm interested to watch Islanders Kings on Thursday. Two of the more defensive teams that don't really score that much to begin with. So, and it's a key game because it's, you know, out of conference, and both of those teams are trying to get in the playoffs and currently on the outside, kind of. So looking at that, Cal Peterson's getting the start. So maybe a big performance there could give him a leg up on Jonathan Quick. And then the Islanders, it's a big chance for them too. They got the Kings, and then they got the Kraken coming up this weekend. So you could get two more wins, start turning those games in hand into actual victories, they're starting to pass some teams. And with some teams like Washington and Boston up and down right now, the stage is set for them if they go on a winning streak here.
All right, Petey, looking forward to seeing what happens, and we'll talk next week, okay?
Sounds good. Looking forward to it. We'll be back at you on Monday, and then we'll have some bonus shows next week. We're planning for a Thursday.
Viva Las Vegas.
We're planning for a Thursday and a Sunday show, and we're going to be talking to a bunch of guests in person in Las Vegas. That's the plan, so we're really excited about it. So, again, Daniel Negreanu, thanks so much for joining us. Follow him on Twitter for sure. And then you got Nick Alberga and Pete Jensen saying so long. Talk to you next week for week 16 and All-Star Weekend. Looking forward to it.